The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is brought to you by Marquee Sports Network.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation. Public drunkenness. Exotic animals. Dumb criminals. Random stabbings. Or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
What's up, everybody? Waddle and Sylvie, if you're used to tuning in at 4 o'clock.
Hey, what's
this
up?
This is a weird surprise for you.
Just by about 2 minutes. It's okay.
Yeah, but you never know. Some people may just tune in at 4 o'clock because they're like, oh, well, they're done with that nonsense. My kids' ears are safe. Guess what?
No, au contraire.
No, this one's pretty tame. This one's pretty tame.
Ohio, then.
Intoxicated man searching for chicken nuggets. Trickers, burglar alarm. Officers responded at 1:30 a.m. to a business at a McDonald's.
Just trying to get some nuggets.
Where Mark Silverman had been broken into a restaurant looking for some nuggets. A 25-year-old resident appeared to be intoxicated.
What was his name? What was the 25-year-old's name? I may know him.
It does not say.
Is this like one of your,
One of my daughter's friends.
Into the establishment and was surprised that no one was there at 1:30 in the morning to take his order for nuggets.
But here's the deal. Don't you have to you have to fire up the deep fryer, don't you? You got to get that oil cooking to drop the nuggets in.
Well, I think
have old nuggets sitting around.
He just walked in and thinking that they'd be open. He broke into a closed and dark restaurant.
Uh-huh.
And went up to the counter.
We got some nugs in here.
Anybody here?
I think the good stories are the one. Not that this isn't a good story. The good ones are when you go into one of those stores, like at 4 a.m., and you turn on the fryers and you start cooking.
Yeah.
I gave you a good story for today about that, but you didn't want to.
Oh, yeah. Restaurant thief found sleeping in a bathroom next to booze and a half-eaten cheesecake. Yeah. That was a good one.
That's good.
Yeah. But that was in the U.K.
It was. Anyway, they had to call a manager to get him to come lock the restaurant up. The man was charged with trespass and misdemeanor disorderly conduct while intoxicated.
This is just out of Canton, Ohio.
Yeah, this has got unless he had, I don't know, something else on him that would extend his jail time. I'm with you. I'm going to go with Dayton, Ohio.
Of course they had to call a manager. Can't someone just order some nuggets?
I just want some nugs, Chris.
I'm going to go Florida with this.
Oh, wow. That's a waste of time.
They called the manager.
They don't even come in.
What do you call
the
manager
like that
for?
In Florida.
Let him be.
Florida, they just tell him to take care. Let him be. Let him be.
Intoxicated man went searching for chicken nuggets and triggered the burglar alarm in Westlake, Ohio.
Yeah, come on.
Good job, Waddle.
In Florida, they just said, you know what, have some nugs on us. We'll see you tomorrow.
I should have known the Waddles, you would have called a manager.
Yes.
See? Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Followed protocol.
He would have been that guy.
Yeah, I'd have been in there.
He would have been called.
I would have fired up the deep fyer.
Yeah.
I think some fries with him. Hey, Jimmy, you want some fries with these nugs I'm about to cook up over here?
I just scored 2 touchdowns for Mueller this weekend. Yeah. I need some
nuts.
Hey,
give me a hairnet because I don't want this mullet to catch fire.
312-332-3776. A lot of Bears conversation. I managed to get Waddle worked up in the first half hour of the show.
He didn't
think he would. Nope. And if you're just tuning in, too, the Bears have, for the first time this year, a long list of guys on the injury report. Allen Robinson in concussion protocol. Cody Whitehair did not practice.
By the way, the concussion protocol thing is usually, when you're in it at this time, so it's Wednesday, wouldn't you say it's somewhat unlikely that he'd be available on Sunday?
Yeah, you have to pass certain things. So. I'm not going to go that far. Let's see tomorrow where
I hope
he's
available.
Yeah. So where was I? Cody Whitehair has that calf injury. Cole Kmet, surprisingly, is on the injury report with a back, but he still limited practice. The biggest surprise, I think, is Khalil Mack with an ankle injury now on the heels of last week's back injury. And again, he did not practice in the Wednesday practice.
Hey, can I take this quick moment to let you know that you can tune into Marquee Sports Network tonight at 7 p.m. and every Wednesday night for weekly Bears breakdown and analysis of the week ahead. So Marquee Sports Network has gotten into the football game as well, and you can catch some Bears coverage every Wednesday night starting tonight at 7 p.m.
Cole Wright, right? Hosts that show?
I believe so. Cole was one of the hosts out at the NFL Network for quite some time as well.
Yes, he's really good. So check that out. And speaking of baseball, when you bring up Marquee, we have not taken calls in it. How do you feel about what happened last night in the World Series? It's a 1-0 game. He had been hot recently as well, not just last night, but he's been really, really good. And he got pulled after one runner got on. What inning was that? The sixth inning?
Six, I think, wasn't it? Wasn't it the sixth inning?
So how do you feel of what happened? That the people are saying, who support the decision, that the Rays get there because they go by the book. Their strength the entire year has been their bullpen. And this is the way they do things. They like their guys rested. They feel like they've got some nasty arms back there.
I think Carm made a really good case for that point. And then I sent the guys a tweet that I saw from Hembo from Greeny's Get Up show that said the slash line for Blake Snell. How about this? Did you see this, Sylvie? That the batting line for Blake Snell allowed this season, including the playoffs, after his pitch count reached 75, okay, is 349, 417, 674 for an OPS of almost 1,100.
Right.
Or 1.1, whatever it would be, 1,100. And that was the worst among all
numbers.
Pitchers to start 12 or more games this year. So that's the... That would be the evidence for those who are diehard, you know, I don't know, disciples of analytics.
And I get it. That's their strength. They that's how they've won with the lower budget, with really looking at the numbers and going by the book. For me, I'm pretty passionate about keeping him in.
I am too.
I believe that while I am using analytics all the time, I'm always having an eye on analytics.
Tool in your toolbox.
It is, absolutely, that you still have to use your eyes. That I heard Black earlier talk about gut, and Chris, I'll let you talk in a minute, but like, there's the brain and the gut, but to me, there's also the eyes. And a lot of times, these aren't robots. And if we only go with the stat book and only think they could perform as robots, then it would be easier. But we're dealing with human beings, and a lot of times these human beings can do things out of this world. It's why in an NBA game, when a guy has hit 6 3-pointers in a row, I don't pull him no matter who his name is.
Right.
I don't cool him off. I don't, like, when Madison Bumgarner is hot in the postseason, I keep Madison Bumgarner in. This is a guy in Blake Snell who's won a Cy Young as well. Like, last year, it's what Washington did. They ride their starting pitching. I don't want to err on the side of taking out a guy who's doing masterful things. There have been lots of World Series heroes as well that when they're hot, they don't. Daniel Murphy, don't want to cool him off. Way back when, Mark Lemke, that just, you just got to, sometimes you just got to use your eyes and ride the hot.
Yeah, there are exceptions to every rule. And as I say about the toolbox, you know, like analytics to me is a toolbox. I don't only have a hammer in there. I have a hammer, I have some C-clamps, I have a screwdriver, I have a wrench, I have all kinds of things in there. And there were a couple of things, I think, that kind of flew in the face. I heard Meller talk about, hey, if you're really following analytics, why wouldn't you start at the guy that they brought in? Who was it, Anderson? Whoever it was, why wouldn't you have brought him in at the start of the inning if you didn't want him to go through the lineup again? The other thing was, I heard somebody else talking about, if you go back to an earlier game in this series that the Dodgers won 6-2, what do the analytics say about leaving Charlie Morton in the game for 4 1/3 and 91 pitches when they were touching him for 7 hits and 5 earned runs? You know, so like, what do the analytics say about you? They left him in for 91 pitches and he didn't have the good stuff.
I just think sometimes with human beings in sports, we've seen it for too many years, where there's something that you just can't measure with stats, with numbers, that there's still no way, right? Everyone always admits it's 2020, and we still don't know how to measure clutchness, correct? That we don't know. And this is the postseason where there's a smaller sample size, and I get it. Third time through the order, if this is a regular season game, maybe we go that way. I don't take the ball out of my hands from my stud when he's pitching as well as I've ever seen.
Not only that, but aren't the reverse splits or the splits on Mookie Betts as a right-handed hitter against a lefty are not good? Like, so you had baffled him and others two times through, and the stats told you that Mookie Betts' numbers against lefties were not as good as they were against righties, right? I think that was that was also something talked about as well. So I'm with you. Listen, again, I'm all for analytics. I have an open mind. I just think, like you just said, I think there are moments where
you... What did the analytics say about Joe Flacco winning a Super Bowl and going 11 touchdowns, zero interceptions?
There's
no measurement for that. But, man, sometimes we see athletes get on heaters. And Blake Snell was on a heater. And you decided to take the ball out of his hands.
In 55 at-bats against lefties this year, Mookie Betts hit 200. In 164 at-bats against righties, so obviously he faced more righties, he hit 323. Smaller sample size against lefties, but... So, I mean, where do you stop with regard to the use of the analytics?
And also with Mookie, in the third, when he faced him last, he struck out swinging and looked completely overmatched. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, Sylvie, it's interesting, right? Because third time through the lineup, those stats are real. Right. And it's something you have to look at. And something we talked about with our two baseball teams in this town when they were in the playoffs for that short period of time. We talked about it with Lucas Giolito and Ricky Renteria, leaving him out there. And whether or not he should kind of manipulate the way the Sox approach that game against the Athletics. And we talked about it with the Cubs in their series against the Marlins as well. So, you know, I get that, but Sylvie, I also tend to lean on your side of it where there's a reason it's sports. Sports are sports because we don't know the outcome. And if you knew the outcome, we would know the result to all of
human
this.
Beings,
each and every time that we lined up or head up to at-bats or whatever it is. So, like, you see someone like Blake Snell with 9 strikeouts pitching the way he is in the World Series. He's never had more pressure in his life in a game, but he is excelling. Something about that, the competition there, seems to tell me, like, you should kind of go with that, shouldn't you?
Yes. I always err on the side of a guy who's getting hot or who I know is great and is really living up to it. And I'd rather go down with Scherzer. I'd rather go down with Bumgarner. Like, what Bumgarner did in the postseason, there was no measuring with stats. He just had that it thing. There's no measuring what Bumgarner turned into in the postseason. But you know what you did? You wrote it. And, yes, third time through the lineup, most games in a July game, in an August game, in a September game, Blake Snell wears down. But what I was seeing with my eyes yesterday was a guy that wanted to take his team on his back. And I'm not – look, I think there's a huge difference between managing with your gut, which I think is fakeness. like then you're just saying – you're burping something up. Now, I still think there's – yeah, I still think there's something to be said about seeing what you're seeing, that it's not your gut, it's your eyes. And your eyes are like, dude, if I'm going down, I'm going down with that guy who's dealing right now.
No, I got it. I mean, I'm with you. That's where I side. But I was listening to Carm, and I wasn't expecting to come away going, wow, you made a really good point. Not that Carm always makes good points, but I thought I was going to be less receptive to what he was saying. Talking about how, listen, this is how the Rays have gotten to where they've gotten. They abide by what they do, and they don't deviate from it because they don't have the talent that stacks up against the Dodgers. And then you get the stats from Hembo that say Snell, from the seventh inning on, was the worst starter in baseball in terms of the splits. And then you say to yourself, well, at the very least, Cash doesn't... With all of that evidence and that background, it doesn't seem like he's the dumbest guy in the building. Just didn't work.
You can also back it up with, in the sixth, the two balls that were hit off of Snell was a pop-out that was hit at 89 miles per hour And then there was a single that was hit at 91.5 miles per hour. So you could make the argument that the Dodgers were starting to hit him harder than they were earlier in the game. But, I mean, I think you're really grasping
at, I'm with you.
Making sure the analytics line up with your decision at that point.
The first thought I had, Sylvie, was what a dope. What an idiot. But then when you, you know, you realize people who follow the Rays and follow the analytics of it and realize that they have been married to this philosophy for a very long time, at the very least, it becomes a conversation that you're willing to hear.
How about that Blake Snell was the controversy before the season started? And now there's a controversy with him after the season started. Rob Manfred got booed pretty heartily. We'll play that coming up next, too. And was there something wrong with his headset? Did you? I don't know if you heard when he was giving an answer, too. Like, it sounded, he sounded punch drunk. But I read an article as an explanation to why he sounded so weird. How do you feel about this? Like, measuring clutch, sticking with a guy, going against analytics in moments. 312-332-3776. All your Bears calls, too. We've been hot and heavy Bears. We'll never turn you away. If you want to voice your opinion on the Bears and the offense and how they're going to turn things around, it's Waddle and Sylvie.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Talking about last night's World Series Game 6.
By the way, you missed out today. Free free peanuts at the shop today.
Said peanuts?
Said peanuts. Free peanuts at the shop today.
What do you mean? Who's giving out peanuts?
There was free peanuts on the table in the little kitchen area.
So these were not circus peanuts for Halloween. These are regular peanuts.
These are Planters salted peanuts.
Okay.
And both the fellows behind the glass had themselves a handful.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah.
I got a jar of peanuts upstairs.
You said peanuts, right?
So I could virtually take part with you guys on...
Well, before, make sure you don't eat any of those before you do tonight's weather forecast, because I don't want you spitting peanuts at us as you're doing the weather forecast.
332-3776. Listen, did you hear this, the trophy, sir? You usually don't stick around for all the pomp and circumstance.
I didn't last night either.
You know me. I'm all aboard for all this stuff. They're handing out the trophy, and boy, this was reminiscent in like a full house at West Madison when you would have the commissioner of hockey getting booed.
You would definitely be getting your boo on at this time.
Boo!
You got yourself a good boo gun.
You don't value the original six. Boo! So take a listen. Rob Manfred. There's only 10,000 people there. Listen to this.
2020 is going to be remembered.
Why did he stop? Because of the booing?
Because they're booing, yeah. Did you notice, Sylvie, how fidgety he was before he actually approached the mic? Did you see how awkward he was? Did you see how awkward his hands were? He went into the pockets, out of the pockets, hands together, hands out. He was nervous.
Maybe he was struggling with the IFB and he was having feedback.
Well, do you have that by I think I saw on the sound sheet, Chris, that you had the bite when he was asked about Turner, right? Is this when he sounds almost punch drunk?
He sounds worse, actually, giving the MVP trophy to Corey Seager. Listen to this.
Corey, you thrilled our fans throughout the postseason with a great performance.
What?
You led the Dodgers to a World Series victory, and it's my pleasure to recognize your great play with the Willie Mays Most Valuable Player Award presented by Chevrolet.
Now, people, I did read from a broadcast website this morning that most broadcasters think that he had an echo in his headset. And when you have an echo in your headset, it's impossible to speak, and it threw him off. And maybe that's why he paused the beginning of the booing, because he had an echo and he was hoping that it would go away.
That makes sense to me. I mean, if you've ever had that happen to you, it's just like it changes everything, and you freak out because you're hearing things in delay. and you're trying to talk, and then you hear yourself in a split-second delay. Now, the mispronunciation or the slurring of words also, I think, I mean, I think you can make a fairly good excuse for that as being the reason why.
Here's the answer to Justin Turner. Listen to this.
Well, it's a bittersweet night for us. We're glad to be done. I do think it's a great accomplishment for our players to get the season completed. But obviously, we're concerned when any of our players test positive. We learned during the game that Justin was a positive. He was immediately isolated to prevent spread.
That's not edited. That's how it sounded.
Yeah, that sounds concerning. That sounds to me more like that sounds less about a reverb issue or an echo issue than something else. But
like it sounds like he's having a stroke.
It sounds that way. But I think Ravi tweeted, didn't he? Didn't Ravi reach out to him and tweeted, and the response was he's just fine. And
he tweeted that last night.
Yeah.
For our players to get the season completed.
So a lot of people think it was because why not rip out the ear set then? He was wearing one of those.
That's the point. And why was he just following the direction of when to give the award or when to? I don't know why it was necessary for him to have an IFB. I mean, he's the commissioner. Right. He can kind of dictate policy.
You led the Dodgers to a World Series victory.
Funny, I don't want to laugh either.
Why? He said he didn't have a medical issue.
Yeah.
He said he didn't. Ravi said he didn't. If he had a medical issue, we are not joking about that. But if he didn't.
And I would have thought that if he had an echo, that he would have texted Ravi back and said, no medical issue, just had an echo in my ear. And
you thrilled our fans throughout the postseason with a great performance.
Here's the piece of metal.
Put the lotion in the basket. We're horrible. You know what?
He said it's not a medical issue.
Yeah, we're not making fun of any.
You know what?
Players to get the season completed.
I'm going to have to stop by, get a handle of Tito's, and go to church to apologize.
And while I have the microphone, I would like to talk to our Players Association.
Okay, maybe we may find out that if there was something.
You guys ever just look at the moon and you're like, that's far away, that moon.
You guys are going to feel like jackasses more than normal.
Oh, my God.
I just find out that he did have something happen.
I just lit the wrong end of a cigarette. You ever done that
before? Like me at the Super Bowl party.
Thank God he didn't fall off one of those hoverboards the way you did with all the.
The first thing to go is my speech, the slurring.
When you're not even drunk, reason,
it's a motor skill that goes. I could run an obstacle course.
Yes,
give me the tire drill. I could put every foot in the tire.
Oh, we will when we are able to get back together again. Oh, we're putting you through the tire drill.
But have me speak.
You guys want to fight? Because I'll take this outside. Don't make me. Because I'll come for you. You don't want the smoke.
Listen to this, guys. Sing-songy way he spoke last night.
You thrilled our fans throughout the postseason with a great performance.
It's unbelievable.
I swear to God. It's like I haven't. What I need. You keep trying to not bring me a beer. And I'm going to tell you, if you stop, I'm going to come over to that bar and get the beer myself. So you better bring it to me. Because if you don't, we will take this outside. And you do not want to go outside.
Adam, are you drunk or do you have an IFB?
It's just the IFB. I took it out and now I'm good.
You led the Dodgers to a World Series victory.
You guys are cruel.
So bad. Mike in Bucktown, you're on ESPN 1000.
That reminds me of the Seinfeld episode where Kramer goes to the dentist and gets Novocaine in his in his lip. That's what it sounds like. I want to talk about Snell, the analytics. I'm for them, but it seems like the manager is kind of picking and choosing his analytics. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, because if you're following the analytics, don't you put Anderson in to start the inning? That's what Meller was talking about today.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to do that, but, like, again, I thought it was the worst managerial decision, and Sylvie, I'm sure you had, like, a little bit of a flashback to Madden taking Hendricks out. It seemed very similar to me. But the question I would have asked this manager at the post-game conference, press conference, is let's say he hadn't given up two hits. Let's say he'd given up two walks. And he's a no-hitter. What do you do?
I think they would have stuck to the book. That's what they do.
They would have taken him out with a no-hitter.
They would have stuck to
the
book.
They don't care about. They want to win to get to it. I'm not saying. What
said you would have stuck to the book.
You led the Dodgers
like
to a World Series victory.
Rubbing off on me?
I would have stuck to the book.
No, I think the Rays would have stuck to the book.
There you go. I'm saying you said stuck to the book.
Stuck to the book.
For our players to get the season completed.
I tell you what, you could take that book and you could put it where the sun don't shine, friend, because I am not going to read any books tonight.
It's my sophomore year at Southern. I'm still not 21.
Oh, geez.
You got your hand stamped because the bar age is 18.
Yeah.
Screw the books.
This is what Ravi said. I reached out to Rob Manfred after the game. He said he is fine. The in-stadium audio caused a delay, but he is healthy and delighted with the efforts of all to get through it.
And that's why this is fair game.
Yes, okay. Yes, okay. Yes. Right. Ravi reached out. If he didn't reach out, we'd be jerks. But we're not.
Well, we're still jerks.
I mean, not really. I mean, yeah. Listen.
You led the Dodgers to a World Series victory. You thrilled our fans throughout the postseason with a great performance.
With a great performance.
You need to do a marketing campaign in the offseason with that audio. Major League Baseball action. You will.
Oh, yeah, because they're fun.
Drunk with fun.
We pull out our pitchers.
Pitchers.
When they allow one hit.
As long as you say things about pulling, I ain't pulling anything. What? Last time I did that, I got into a lot of trouble, so I'm not doing that for you, mister.
It's a better Harry Carey than Ryan Dempster does, though.
That's true. That is absolutely true.
312-332-3776 if you want to react with us.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
All right, we're talking about the Blake Snell. We haven't gotten to all these calls. Lots of Bears conversation. Michael Wilbon at 5. Remember, he was in studio with us on Monday.
That's right.
Talking Bears, and we'll see how disappointed he was, how he feels about the coach. Now I know he went after Nagy yesterday on PTI. 332-3776.
Did I tell you earlier that Daryl Morey was finalizing a contract with the Philadelphia 76ers in Waddle's World? I forgot to tell you.
You
that.
Did not, but that is true. It was a Woj bomb today,
yeah,
wasn't it?
I believe it was.
So what's Elton Brand's role going to be?
I don't know.
The story says that Brand is going to stay with the organization. He recruited Daryl Morey to the franchise, okay. So they're going to work together.
All right.
And there's also a report out there that they're looking into trying to get Shane Battier to join the franchise as well.
He's in Miami right now, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of people think that the future is really bright for him. I think he specializes in the analytics.
Yep. He's like the director of analytics or something with the Heat.
Yeah. Boy, that Heat organization.
Yeah.
Mike in Portage, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Mike.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys.
Sure.
I was just going to weigh in on the Snell situation. I think you guys are kind of mistaken on Cash not using the eye test. I believe he used the eye test based on the whole season, though. You guys are basically talking about one game. I've seen every game that the Braves have played this year, and Snell hit a wall when he goes into the third time around the lineup. I think your stat that you mentioned earlier was wrong also, as far as Snell being the worst pitcher after the seventh inning, because I don't think he's actually made it into the seventh inning all year this year. So basically what I'm saying is that as soon as that base hit was there, my first words were, get him out of there. Because it's been all year, he's hit that wall, and it was the right thing to do.
It wasn't even, Mike, it wasn't, the stat was it wasn't innings, it was pitches. So once his pitch count reached 75, the batting line against Blake Snell allowed this season, including the playoffs, after his pitch count reached 75, was 349, 417, 674 for an OPS of 1.091, which was worst among pitchers to start 12-plus games.
Exactly. He hit the wall. Like I said, I've seen every game that he's pitched this year, and it was absolutely the right thing to do is get him out of that game.
Look, Nick Anderson had an ERA of a half a run, but when do you start looking and say, well, boy, Anderson has given up a run here in what game was it? On Saturday's game, he gave up a run on Wednesday. He's got an ERA of 9 in the postseason.
Yeah, he's given up a run in each of the World Series games he's pitched.
When do you just say to yourself that there are regular season games and then there are games when guys are reaching their peak?
Let me read you guys this from The Athletic today from Pedro Mora, who was there reporting on the game. So this is what happened. So Austin Barnes notched a single and the Dodgers got lucky. Rays manager Kevin Cash emerged from Globe Life Field's visiting dugout and signaled for a reliever. Snow was departing as pitch count at 73. Across the dugout, Dodgers looked at each other in disbelief. From the field, Betts Glass glanced at Dave Roberts and grinned. Had he stayed in the game, he may have pitched a complete game, Betts said. Once he came out of the game, it was just a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, they talked about the lift that it gave mentally.
Analytics are cool, but you can't. When he's looked good against Betts the entire game, and Betts has struggled against him in the past.
Yeah,
you just leave him in.
It's not robots. We're not playing robots.
Because
robot
either
boxing.
Way, if you look at it, the results are going to be. If the results go bad, you're going to get killed either way, right? So if you leave him in and Betts gets a hit and they tie it up or whatever, then you look bad. If you pull him and the result that we saw yesterday happened, you're still going to get killed. So what's the difference?
Well, and take it from a guy who goes to Vegas and splits tens.
Yo.
Yeah, I mean,
we
seriously.
Call him out for that.
Well, I mean, called me out for this. But here's the thing.
I'm just saying, I'm with you. Like, I use analytics. I'm not married to them.
The only time I do it is when I'm playing a good run of blackjack. I got my buddies there. I got Chris Bleck to my right. I got Nick Friedel to my left. And I'm like, listen, guys, I'm feeling hot right now.
If Friedel's going to reach over and slap you like a cheeseburger.
And I ask him, I go, Friedel, you're to my left. I'm feeling hot. I got a big stack of chips in front of me. I'm feeling the mojo. I'm going to split these tens.
And then he reaches over and he gives you a slap.
Oh, Adam, that's stupid, but you do you. And then I do it, and it works sometimes.
Listen, I said the same thing when Kenny Rogers was writing The Gambler, okay? Yeah, he wasn't using analytics. You got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them.
It's called gambling. Listen, do I gamble on Barcelona when Ronaldo's out? Yeah, I do, because they're plus 140 on the money line. Take that. Normally, it's not a good bet, but sometimes you're just feeling it. Sometimes you're just feeling it.
I think splitting tens is a little riskier or a little less sensible than
it's my money. I do what I want with it.
Yes, you're right, and nobody is trying to keep you from doing that, Adam. We're not looking for the casino police to take you away.
Well, they're already out.
We're just suggesting to you that it may not be the best, most well thought out plan.
Here's what the book says. It's
the
70,
book is stupid.
If you are an analytic guy, you're an analytic guy.
No, I'm not. Last time I checked, Sylvie, I bleed red.
Sylvie, give me the analytics, so he knows.
I bleed red, and I live on Earth. I'm not a Sith. I don't deal in absolutes.
When you have a 20,
it's a Star Wars reference.
When you have a 20, you have a 12.2% chance of losing. 12.2% chance of losing.
Wow.
You have a 70.2% chance of winning.
Okay, what happens?
And then you have a 17.6% chance of pushing. Why are you going with 12% instead of 70.2%?
Yeah, that's a good point there.
Because sometimes you take a flyer on a road dog and it hits. That's why.
Then you can never cite analytics again.
No, that's not true.
That's W.
No, because like I just said, Sylvie, I'm going to start calling you Sith Sylvie if we're only dealing in absolutes here. That's ridiculous.
I'm Darth Maul. Do I have the right movie?
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
I can do what I want to do. And
you sound like a child. Of course you can do it.
That's not true. What I want to do.
Because Cash can do what he wants to. If he wants to pull Snell, he can't. If
you said Cash or Cap?
I said Cash.
If he wants to pull Snell, he can't. If he doesn't, he can leave him in there. Guess what? Yes, he's the manager. He gets paid to make those decisions. He pulled him, and it backfired.
You know why I could split 20?
Because I can.
Because it's Adam Abdallah's 20. And you know whose name's on that 20? It's Abdallah's. Yeah. So I'm gonna split it.
You know why I split 10s? Because I can. We're not trying to keep you. We're not trying to speak for a law that bans you from splitting 10s. We're just trying to tell you that the averages, the analytics involved, we just want you to be informed, Adam. That's all. We're trying to give you as much information as you can.
I gave you an analogy.
We care about you.
If you were Nick Foles, would you want to cut that thing in half?
Okay.
I'm talking about his football IQ.
But if I cut the thing in half, maybe it'll get bigger next time. Maybe it's even bigger. Because that's what happens. Because ask Chris, when I split 10s before, what happened? I got two more 10s.
Yeah, I've watched him split 10s like four straight times.
Do me a favor at the break. Cut off your pinky finger and see if it grows back.
I'll do it if I can. You know the scenario. I'll cut off something to get, well, not that. I'll cut off a digit. Not that digit, but it's a digit.
Four?
For Patrick Mahomes. We've been over this.
We need a contestant for my wife or radio partner.
This whole segment could be that.
And do you want to split 10s? 3-3-2-3-7-7-6. Let's go. Waddle, should we go caller 20 or caller 10? Are we keeping the 20 or are we splitting it in
let's
half?
Let's split the 20 and go to 10.
All right. Let's go to caller 10.
Easier for me. Adam always wins.
The 4 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by the Home Loan Expert. They can get you pre-approved and locked in on the very same day and have you closed in less than 30 days. Contact my guy Ryan Kelly at thehomeloanexpert.com.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000. It's now time for my wife or my radio partner.
That way. Now, see that?
Look at the baby.
Smiling.
Look at the baby.
I'm judging, watching. Look at the baby. Look at the baby.
My wife.
Does this make me look fat? Did you take out the trash?
Or my radio partner.
I look at myself in the mirror and I can't stand what I'm seeing.
It's a little cool today, isn't it? It's a little cool today for golf, isn't it?
My wife or my radio partner
with Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Having a good conversation with everybody in the chat room on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago.
Going to the bathroom. What were you guys talking about?
Well, about splitting 10.
Oh, yeah. And I can't imagine there was a whole lot of support for Adam's philosophy.
They said, don't be splitting 10s in Hammond.
Yeah.
The rest of the table.
I'll be splitting your head.
Trust me, I'm going to a table in Hammond.
Good luck.
Whoa. You uppity son.
We golf down there. Why can't we gamble down there?
Yeah, we're there all the time.
No, because I'm only going to go and play with my best friends. And Nick Friedel cannot be there. And he's my blackjack partner. He is my Rain Man, and I am his Tom Cruise.
You guys do know the deal with Nick, right? Nick,
I've been to Vegas with him once.
So you've watched him. He plays the entire table for the table.
He's Rain Man.
Oh, so he's commentating about it all.
No. He's playing everyone's hands around the table because he is ahead of everyone else.
And how do people handle that advice while they're playing?
He's very good. He's playing with us.
Oh, he's good at it.
Yeah, like you got to understand, we sit at a table. Like we go to a table where we can, like three or four of us can sit down.
Right.
And like
you
we can
drink and play.
And like everybody's there and like... Like, if there's one straggler, maybe, but other than that, it's our
Yeah, so
our
he's
table.
Good at this, and he's giving advice, and you're breaking up things with
but he doesn't
splitting
care.
Tens.
He doesn't care.
But that has to affect his analytics. That's got to affect his analytics.
Not really.
Okay. About 10 years ago, when we were in Vegas with Carmen, me, Zetterman, he was losing big time, several hundred dollars down. And then he disappeared for a good 2 hours.
Oh, yeah. ATM machine.
I thought he was jumping off a building somewhere. But he came back with a handful of cash, and he said he won it all back.
Yeah.
Now, where he went and how he did it, I don't know. But he did. Nick Friedel there.
Sure he was gambling?
I miss him.
No, he was. He has a whole system. If he doesn't like the feel of the chips, he will cash out the chips, get new cash, and then get new chips at a different table. If he gets a weird vibe from a dealer, he has to get up and leave.
Is he there? Like nobody's going to lose money, but is he going there like is it a day's work?
He's got a whole thing. He's got a whole setup.
Like we've been at and he'd be like, we need to leave this casino. I'm down $3,000. And then we go to another casino. He's like, all right, I'm up two grand. Let's do this.
Okay.
You remember the story? We took Southwest there, and I was so happy because I had someone sitting in the aisle, then I had the window seat, and then the middle seat was open. There were other seats open, and it comes roll. The plane doors are about to close. You think you're home free with that free seat on a long flight.
And here comes Nick.
And here comes Nick. big body Nick Friedel, and he just weeble wobbles into my seat next to me.
Did he ask?
You're too big, Nick.
Did he ask to borrow your packing tape device that was put in your suitcase?
All right, that's funny. That was a Miami trip.
Oh, sorry.
My wife or radio partner brought to you by Swift and Sons American Steakhouse in the West Swifty. Loop. In the Fulton Market District. Want to give a big, big shout-out to Kevin Boehm and Rob Katz from the Boca Restaurant Group and Swift's executive chef, Chris Pandel. The Chicago Steakhouse with a modern twist located in the Fulton Market District. And now is the time to support them more than ever. Carry out and delivery, they've got it going on right now. Support your local restaurants. Support the Boca Restaurant Group. Support the great people at Swift and Sons,
well,
and they
said.
Are also offering Thanksgiving to go. You can purchase it on Taco. Go to exploretac.com/Swift and Sons.
Are we playing for a gift card?
We are. Yes, we are. A gift card to Swift and Sons. Who is our contestant, Waddle?
I don't know. Who is our contestant? It's Mike in Bensonville. Mike, how we doing?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you guys?
Doing well also. Do you know how to play the game?
I do.
Okay, I'm going to read you the rules then. I'm going to read you three statements. You're going to have to decide, Mike, whether or not my wife made the statement or my radio partner made the statement. If you're correct two out of three times, you are going to get that gift card to Swift and Sons, okay?
All right.
All right, Mike, if my wife made the statement, this is what you'll hear.
Mason said that if I'm a Sith, that I am a bad guy who does good tricks with a lightsaber.
I think that covers it.
Yep.
Okay, go ahead.
You better be using that lightsaber tonight when you do that that fake weather forecast for us and put it on Twitter. If my radio partner made the statement, Mike, this is what you'll hear. If I were a boy, we're gonna get new music soon.
No, we're not.
Yeah, we are.
We're not getting new music.
All right, Mike. Here we go. Statement number one. You ready?
Yep.
It's called the Van Gogh. It's called the Van Gogh.
I'm going to go with your wife.
Oh, no. I think an explanation is needed because it sounds like a kind of a strange statement.
It was brought up today. Carmen told the story. Well, not the full story, but the story from back in the days when we were all single, running around Wells Street. It was the Wells Street Art Fair.
Mm-hmm.
And once I did a move that we now dub the Van Gogh.
So is there a venue where we can get a more descriptive, detailed explanation
for
it?
This is one day maybe right now for today.
Maybe Twitch after hours that you can sit down and you can explain it?
Perhaps, yes.
Okay.
Perhaps.
All right, come on, Mike, pick it up. Statement number two, all right?
Here we go.
I gave the omelet away to a neighbor. I gave the omelet away to a neighbor.
All right, I don't see Sylvie giving away an omelet, so I'm going to go with your wife.
No, Mike!
Apparently, we have a text chain with neighbors. If there's an overabundance of food, we give it to other neighbors so it doesn't go to waste. And I had eggs already made for me after my workout. Cat brought me an omelet.
This was Cat's omelet?
This is the one that he paid off his bet.
And you gave it to a neighbor?
And we gave it to a neighbor, yes.
Oh,
I already ate eggs. What was I supposed to do with it?
Eat more. Have it for lunch. Put it in the fridge.
Take that.
How many eggs can I have in one day?
You want
it to go to waste.
Wow.
Mike, he gave away the omelet.
The man came to your house.
Yeah. I had a creepy video. What's worse, that or that one of your neighbors like, yeah, send me that omelet from down there. I'll take it.
I just can't believe you gave away food.
Yeah, that's a good point, Mike. That's a good point. All right, you lose, but for you know what's and giggles, third and final statement, I've had enough. I'm going now. I've had enough. I'm going now.
Third time's a charm. Let's go with your wife.
Nope. You are 0 for 3, my friend. Yeah. Sylvie had enough of us today at the end of our phone meeting and said, okay, guys, I've had enough. I'm going now.
That's right.
Ooh.
Enough pre-show fist fight
for
me.
Yeah, it was enough for you.
I got some food to eat.
Yes, you do. And
but not caps. Yeah,
not caps. Not caps omelet. No. Got to break a couple of eggs to make an omelet, don't you?
Sorry, Mike.
Sorry,
better
Mike.
Luck it's next right. time. There you go. There's Mike and Benson.
Does Cap know that you give away his omelet?
Now he does. Yeah,
he does now.
Oh, he's listening. Open up these wounds.
He's listening now.
And I'm gonna start getting.
I thought you guys were on better terms than that.
We're back in 2 minutes with Michael Wilbon.
Maybe.